Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. As the war continues to spiral out of control in Iraq, as the slaughter of innocent men, women, and children continues in the Sudan, as AIDS continues to ravage the continent of Africa, as starvation stalks the face of the earth in many quarters, as the factions in the Middle East continue with rage and hatred toward their fellow men, as natural disasters wreak havoc over the face of the earth, as the ugly political factions in the U.S. struggle for dominance, and as the peoples of the world struggle to survive, where do we turn for comfort at a time like this? Of the 6.5 billion people on the earth today, 2 billion, that's about one-third of all the peoples on the earth, one out of three, are not having their basic needs met. That is, they don't have adequate food, clothing, shelter, sanitary facilities, and health care, much less the kind of education that they really need to be free from fear, superstition, and the dogmas of men. Remember the old saying, you don't miss your water till the well goes dry? Physical comfort is a thing we take for granted, but it is one of the greatest of all blessings. The number of people around the world who are seeking just some sort of physical comfort in the face of the pain, the heat, the cold, the hunger, all of these things that they face on a daily basis is staggering to contemplate. Not to even talk about the war and the other miseries that they are so often acquainted with. It is amazing what people will do to one another. It's also amazing what people will do in seeking just plain old physical comfort. They will ford streams, climb the highest mountains, cross the deepest, darkest jungle, and also cross the hottest, driest desert in search of physical comfort. Instinctively, people will do what they can do just to survive physically. But the greatest pain and suffering that the peoples of the world are suffering from is mental and spiritual. Even the people who have food, clothing, and shelter are not really comforted by what they have. The world is in search of a comfort zone, and they don't know where to find it, and if they did, perhaps they would not even recognize it if they found it. Comfort is somewhat difficult to define. For example, let's note Psalm 23, verse 4, one of the most comforting psalms in all of literature. Verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The Hebrew word translated comfort here means to be sorry, to be moved with pity, to have compassion. In helping a person who's been injured, we take great care in trying to make everything just right. Pillows under the knees. Is the cover just right? What about the light? Are you cold? Are you too hot? Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? It seems to me that comfort has to do with removing all the things that causes a person to feel pain, things that causes anxiety, stress, distress. In short, removing anything that raises a sense of pain, anxiety, guilt, shame, stress, and irritability. If one is truly comforted, they are totally set at ease. They do not fear, they do not dread anything that is before them. They are in need of a comforter all over the world, though, and they are not experiencing these things. They need someone to wrap their arms around them, hold them, and tell them that everything is going to be all right. In their search for a comforter, the peoples of the world run to and fro and become confused and oftentimes sidetracked into various blind alleys that offer no comfort. People seek comfort in all kinds of things, drugs, alcohol, aberrant behaviors, and various forms of escapism, having to do with going to various entertainment events or being totally meshed in sports or entertainment or celebrity worship or whatever it is. And so many people today are in a state of denial and simply bury their heads in the sand and go their way each day because they feel helpless in the face of the tidal wave of confusion and chaos that besets the peoples of the world. There is a great comforter who will wrap his arms around you and provide you with the comfort that you are so desperately in need of, the comfort that you so desperately crave in these dark days. The Apostle Paul describes this comforter in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted. So God is the great comforter. He is the Father of all mercies. And he sent Jesus Christ to this earth so that we might be reconciled to him. And Jesus Christ has sent to us from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, and now the Holy Spirit is available to us, which provides us with great comfort and assurance. One of the greatest musical works of all times describes the work of the Comforter. That great work is Handel's Messiah. In this great work, Handel describes what the Messiah would do in his ministry. One of the greatest expectations in all of human history is the coming of the Messiah. Handel weaves the words of the prophets, mainly Isaiah, and the gospel writers into a moving musical tapestry of comfort, a tapestry in which all the peoples of the world can be woven into. The Messiah did not come just to save Israel or the Jews. He came to bring comfort to all of humankind. So let's note some of the wonderfully comforting words of this great work in Handel's Messiah. This work, Handel's Messiah, was written between August the 22nd and September the 14th in 1741. In just those short 3.5 weeks or so, these words were penned. Comfort you, my people, says our God. Speak you comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. And of course, that day will come when they look on him whom they have pierced. The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And John the Baptist came preparing the way for the Messiah to come. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill made low. Yes, this can be looked at in the physical sense, but also in the symbolic sense, that every mountain and every government of every major nation, small nation on the face of the earth is going to be changed. The crooked made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Eternal has spoken it. Yes, the peoples of the world are trying to cast great aspersion onto the Bible today, and the Word of God, and to the one who came, Jesus Christ, to enable us to be reconciled to the great Comforter, God the Father. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the seas and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. We're beginning to see the nations shaken at this particular time with wars and rumors of war, and we know that more is to come. And eventually, every man's hand is going to be against his neighbor. But in the face of that, Handel continues, the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. Jesus Christ came, and he spent 33 years and a half or so here on the earth in his ministry. And he did come. He is the mediator of a new covenant. He is going to come to his temple. But he is coming back again, not as a meek, lowly lamb this time, as the suffering Messiah dying for the sins of the world, but he is going to come. He shall come, says the Lord of hosts. And then Handel asks the question, but who may abide? Actually, this is Malachi 3:2 that he's quoting. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? For he's like a refiner's fire. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, that they may offer unto the Eternal an offering in righteousness. And then the great prophecy of Isaiah 7:14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. That is, God with us. A virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. O you that tell us good tidings to Zion, get you into the high mountain. O you that tell good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Then it goes on and on, talking about how the people have walked in darkness, and now they have seen a great light. And then the great chorus, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So we see here this great work by Handel. And then later on in the chorus it says, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. Comfort you, my people. Yes, these words are among the most comforting words that have ever been written. And then these wonderful words have been set to music. If you've not listened to Handel's Messiah, you should do so. Or you could go to the internet and get a copy of the words and just read them and think about them. The 23rd Psalm is just about as perfect an example as can be found in literature that describes the work of the Comforter. The 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd. This is a declaration of who is the eternal master of our lives. Then the statement, I shall not want, makes it clear that this person is trusting implicitly in the shepherd to supply all needs. This means that this person has total faith in the shepherd. Thus, we can conclude that for many of us, all too often, the Lord is not our shepherd, because it seems that we are all too often filled with wants that are never fulfilled. This word here that is translated, I shall not want, is the word kasar in the Hebrew. It means to be lacking, without, to have a need. But if we're trusting in the shepherd, it says, we will not lack, we will not need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. As one little girl said, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I need. The rest of the psalm is basically devoted to explaining how the shepherd takes care of every need. The problem with us is that we are weak in faith, and we don't really understand at times, and in times like we're living in now, and at times we don't really accept the shepherd's love, care, and concern. We're looking for all things in our universe to be made straight, and everything returned to the state in which we will be comforted. But as the poet writes, the moving finger writes, and having writ, moves on, nor all your pity nor wit shall lure it back to cancel half a line, nor all your tears wash out a word of it. Omar Khayyam. When we come back for the next segment of our program, We'll continue to explore why we need comfort and who the great comforter really is. If you would really like to receive the comfort that you need, then you need to turn to the pages of your Bible and you can find that comfort. We can help you in your quest for comfort, in your quest to really know God and Jesus Christ. We can send you a free booklet that will help you understand the plan and purpose of God. That booklet is, What is Your Destiny? And another booklet titled, The Road to Eternal Life. These two booklets will help you begin to find the comfort that so many people are seeking for in today's world. With all the things that are going on, with wars and rumors of war and natural catastrophes, starvation and disease ravaging several areas of the earth, with the ugly politics that we see in America, and all the things that beset the peoples of the world, you can find comfort, and the great comforter wants to wrap his arms around you. So to receive these two booklets, What is Your Destiny and the Road to Eternal Life, all you have to do is to call our toll-free number. The toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And now back to World News and Prophecy. As we look at all the things that are going on in the world today, and we see the suffering, the misery, the agony, the pain, the anxious care, the people running to and fro, and all the various things that people are going through, at times you think how wonderful it would be to make everyone comfortable tonight, to relieve all these burdens. Every person on earth would be healed. There would be no strife among peoples. Everyone would have a roof over their head and a warm, soft, dry bed and a full stomach. Then you quickly note that you have no such power. You're hard-pressed to provide those things for your own household. Then you think, well, God has the power. Why doesn't He provide all these things for all of humanity? Then you realize that if He did that, He would in effect take away humankind's prerogative of choosing for themselves. God wants you to come to Him voluntarily. He doesn't want you to have your eternal being dangle over the fires of hell as some do. He wants you to come to Him because you come to understand that there is no other way to truly be comforted. We can't take this reasoning too far with regard to choosing for ourselves, because much of the suffering that is extant in the world's great centers of activity today revolve around the fact that Satan the devil is the god of this present evil age, and he has influenced the leaders of the nations of the world to do some awfully oppressive things, things in which people really didn't choose to be involved in. People didn't really choose to be involved in some of the things that are going on in Africa today, the Middle East, or in this nation. They didn't really choose that. It just seems like a series of events unfolded, and that to some degree they are victims of time and chance and circumstance. There are many innocent victims today of Satan's oppression. Isaiah describes Satan in Isaiah 14 verses 4 through 6 when he says, You shall take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, The king of Babylon is a type of Satan the devil. How has the oppressor ceased, the exactress of gold? The eternal hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted and none hinders. Yes, the time is coming in which Satan and the demons are going to be cast into the bottomless pit, and they will be rendered of none effect. To a large degree, the peoples of the world are at the mercy of their governmental and religious leaders. The problems of the world will never be solved until right government is established on the face of the earth. The understanding that God is working out a great plan of salvation for all humans through all the ages should be one of the greatest sources of comfort that one can possibly experience. The very first article of faith is to believe that God exists and that He always has our best interests at heart. This is found in Hebrews 11:6. It says, "For those who would come to God must first of all believe that He is, that God exists, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." He says, "Knock and I'll open, seek and you'll find." But we must be willing to accept His solution to our problems. I find myself wanting to fix things by returning to the way things used to be. But just as the poet writes that this moving hand of time moves on and we can't cancel half a line, there is really no going back. The only thing that's left for any of us is what lies ahead. We will either live in eternity or experience the second death, from which there is no resurrection. So one of the principal ways to be comforted is to keep your focus totally on God and claim His promises, so that you live your life with the assurance that He will keep His promises. One of the principal reasons that people cannot be comforted in this age harkens back to what I've already alluded to, the fact that we will not let go of the past. Somehow we feel that by brooding over the past, that somehow this will help pay for our past sins and failures in whatever area we want to name, from child rearing to marriage relationships, to how we handle the situation with the neighbor next door. Proverbs 14:10 states, "The heart knows his own bitterness, and a stranger does not intermeddle with his joy." Some people just hold on to their bitterness and they pamper it as they would their little puppy or their child. This brooding over the past sometimes leads to a root of bitterness that becomes a person's reason for living. They are living for the day that everyone gets what they have coming to them. The root of bitterness is used to justify their thoughts, feelings, and actions toward whomever and whatever is causing them their distress. That's why you have the admonition in the scripture to get rid of such feelings. Note Ephesians 4:26, "Be you angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath." And then the Apostle Paul writes in Hebrews 12:14, "Follow peace with all men, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." There is no way that we can pay for our sins, carry all our burdens, and the burdens of everyone we love all by ourselves. We all need help, and God and Christ are the source of our help. The main reason that Jesus came to the earth was to die for the sins of humankind, so that they could be reconciled to the Father and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ said that He would send the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, John 14:26, which proceeds from the Father, John 15:26, and it comes to us. There is no other way to receive the comfort of God but through Jesus Christ. Yet we attempt to carry our burdens all alone. Notice what Jesus told the peoples of His day, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11:28. So this brings us to letting go. We who feel so weighted, we who feel so burdened by the cares of this world, must let go. Note what the Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." Until we can cast our care on Him, we're trying to be quasi-saviors of our plight, our condition. So we must let go in order to receive God's comfort. comfort, comfort you, my people. Tell of peace, thus says our God. Comfort those who sit in darkness, bowed beneath oppression's load. Speak you to Jerusalem of the peace that waits for them. Tell them that their sins I cover, and their warfare now is over. For the herald's voice is calling in the desert far and near, bidding us to make repentance, since the kingdom now is here. Oh, that warning cry obey, now prepare for God's way. Let the valleys rise in meeting, and the hills bow down in greeting. Make you straight what long was crooked. Make the rough places plain. Let your hearts be true and humble, as befits God's holy reign. For the glory of the Lord now o'er the earth is shed abroad, and all flesh shall see the token that God's word is never broken. That day will come, but until that day comes, we must allow God to comfort us. So let's pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Be sure to be tuned to this station at this time next week for World News and Prophecy. You have been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on this program, What is Your Destiny? A booklet that will explain to you the very purpose of human existence and what you need to do to fulfill your purpose, and also the booklet, The Road to Eternal Life. These booklets will help you understand the role of Jesus Christ and the Father and help you get on the right path so that you can be comforted in all your sorrows and all your distresses. Remember that God is the Father of all comfort and the Father of all mercies. And be sure to be tuned to this station next week for World News and Prophecy.